superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The Tua Tagovailoa era begins.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
And the Dodgers advance to the World Series for the third time in the past 4 years.
Earlier on the show, host of the Dan Patrick Show, Dan Patrick. Coming up, Baseball Hall of Famer John Smoltz, San Francisco 49ers tight end George Kittle, Tennessee Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air, and some news broke towards the end of the last hour that we didn't really hit upon because we were in the midst of a great, fun conversation, deep conversation with my buddy DP, Dan Patrick, whose show we follow every day here on NBC Sports on Peacock and SiriusXM Channel 211, and it's something that we'll bring up with our third-hour guest, Ryan Tannehill, his main protector, the man who's got his back, the left tackle, our buddy.
Our buddy.
And co-host of Bussin' with the Boys.
Who's his co-host?
Will something or other.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Will straight out of Compton.
nice.
And Terrell Lewan tweeted out that he had an MRI on his knee and he tore his ACL yesterday. What a bummer.
Wow. That's such a bummer.
You know what? Bad day for Michigan guys.
Yep.
Devin Bush too.
Yeah, right. Ugh.
And he's the center of that Pittsburgh offense. As you know, when he came on, he's like, he's wearing the helmet. He's the one calling the plays.
He's green dot. He's got the green dot.
He's a green dot.
Yeah, major bummer.
I know.
Sorry.
So we'll discuss that with Ryan Tannehill. George Kittle will be joining us coming up shortly with his 49ers with a big Sunday Night Football win on our friends on NBC. Do we have a poll question over there, Christopher?
Yeah, I did throw one out there.
Okay. Let's hit that real quick.
Looking at the most surprising result from NFL Sunday. So Bucks score 38 unanswered on Green Bay. The Bears handle Carolina. The Colts, 24-point comeback win. They were getting smoked by Cincinnati.
Okay.
Came back and won that game. And San Francisco dominates the Rams.
Okay. We'll hit on all that at Rich Eisen Show. It's somebody who's no doubt excited for the return of Big Ten football. Michigan State Spartans are taking on Rutgers coming up this week. Michigan and Minnesota for me. Ohio State and Nebraska. Got some news about Nebraska to let you know about later on this hour, Chris, if you missed it.
Okay.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Calling in right now. I love everything that he does. He's got a great call on the LCS last night, the Dodgers advancing. He and Joe Buck are going to be calling the World Series on Fox starting tomorrow night. He is none other than Hall of Famer John Smoltz. How you doing, John?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So, I mean, some nerve-wracking times for the Dodgers, but they have just got some timely hitters. And then that, do we even call him a kid in right field? I mean, do we call that? I mean, what is it like seeing that in person, that way that Mookie Betts plays that position?
Well, John? Yeah, it's incredible. You know, I've said, you know, the game is what it is as far as the design philosophy of how you play defense. But the one thing you can say is outfielders, you get a chance to see their athleticism. They're not playing in a shift. They're not bunched together. They individually carry the distance that they can cover. And, you know, when you have the talent and the defense that the Dodgers have, it speaks for itself. Bellinger, of course, in first of the greatest catches I've ever seen against the Padres under the circumstances. There were so many twists in the Padres series and the Braves series that could have easily led the Dodgers out. And defensively, they turned the series around before they were able to turn it around offensively. And look, Mookie Betts is a special, special talent. And like I said, if you're an infielder with a great talent, you don't always get to see them. They may be in a position where they don't normally play 80% of the time. They're in the shift. So So you can't really see the giftedness that some of these guys have, and we've got to see it with full display with Mookie Betts and Bellinger.
And, you know, and then Will Smith obviously now added to a mix that already has Justin Turner and stars all over the map for the L.A. Dodgers, who are now back in the World Series. Before we move on to that, I do want to give you the floor on the Braves and the organization with which you're most closely associated from your Hall of Fame playing days, and what they were able to do and almost pull off.
Yeah, they almost pulled off the perfect trifecta. And what I mean by that is they did not have the full arsenal that would take you deep into the World Series if they had to play a lot of deep series. So they swept their first two games, which was incredible against the Cincinnati Reds, and one of the most epic first games I've ever seen in 13 innings. And then they took care of the Marlins in three straight, and it looked like the formula was going to work for the Dodgers. They were up 3-1. No one saw it coming. And then they were going to have the ability to try and finish it off and win one game. Unfortunately for the Braves, they had some opportunistic – they had some opportunities. They just didn't come through. They had bases loaded, nobody out against Buehler. That was a big misplay. And then they had some bad miss base running. So from a long-term scenario, they're set up very well. They got some great experience out of young pitchers. But it never feels good or tastes good when you lose. But at the end of the day, when we were looking at this series going seven, it heavily favored the Dodgers. But what the Dodgers are able to do, you just got to give them credit for executing, because their backs, they had a lot of pressure on them. And I said all along, they've answered the call every single time. I don't think they want to put themselves in another situation like this previous series, but it ended up being an epic Game 7. The series was unpredictable and had twists that you couldn't, you know. After it was 2-0, the narrative was the Dodgers are in trouble. Then the Dodgers win a blowout, the Braves are done. And then the Braves win, they're up 3-1, the Dodgers are in trouble. And then it was, of course, you know, the rest is been documented.
John Smoltz here on the Rich Eisen Show. So do you think that they're now, I mean, normally the Dodgers have been in the World Series before. You can't even say they're playing with house money. Certainly since one of the pitchers they're going to see is one of the pitchers that did him in the World Series in a Game 7, because Charlie Morton's on that Rays team. How do you think this team is entering mentally a World Series?
I think they're in the best place they've ever been. And the reason I say that is this was going to be the most difficult championship for any team to win. And for the obvious, all the things they're going through now, yes, the year was shorter and people are going to point to that, but the journey was harder. And so when you've got all this baggage that they've had to deal with, the Dodgers, and you're having to answer the call time and time again, this has become a special year for them as a group because of all the things I just said. And they have the component. If they don't trick it up too much, they have the depth and the roster to beat anybody. Now, what the Rays provide is an unbelievable challenge for anybody when you think about shortening the game. You better have the lead. You better find a way by the sixth inning to get a lead against this team. And I think the Dodgers, if they can stay patient, no matter what the scenario is, they have the starting pitching to get them deep into a series. The thing I think is going to be the biggest, now the Rays have overcome this so far. They've had a 5-game series against the Yankees and a 7-game series that maybe shouldn't have happened against the Astros. They've overcome their swing and miss offense. It's going to be difficult to keep doing that, but if they find a way to keep winning their one-run games and hit homers, they basically only score by hitting homers, then they've got a legitimate chance to knock off the Dodgers. But I really think this series comes down to the team that puts the ball in play more is going to win.
What do you mean by trick it up, John? I think I think I could guess, but I want you to put more words on that. What do you mean by trick it up?
I think sometimes when you have as many weapons as a team does, you find yourself trying to use those weapons in so many situations that it can come to backfire. You know, you can start diluting that depth. And I know that there's a lot of information there, and there's the anxiety to win a game when you have it there. But using guys in positions or situations and then asking them to do something else later is very difficult on young pitching. And so you know, the whole idea of 7 days in a row was going to be the depth wins out. You got five starters, and the Dodgers went in a kind of a different direction. They used some of their starters in relief, then they asked them to start, and that's what I kind of mean. If it comes down to that, and I know we got our two off days back, so you can utilize guys in different ways. It feels great. It looks great if it works. It starts becoming a little more scratchy of your head if it doesn't. And that's kind of what I mean by that. I think that it's real easy to throw out Kershaw, Bueller. Then you got other studs like May and Gonsolin and Urias. I love Urias. I think he's got the potential to be a lockdown starter for the rest of his career, but he's been used out of the pen. He's had valuable access out of the pen. And that's kind of what I mean. You know, the information is great, but what Dave Roberts did at the end of that game was let his eyes see what this young kid was doing.
Thank goodness.
He let him finish the game.
Thank goodness. You don't see that too often, right, John? You don't see gut. I mean, that was gut. That was gut. Like Dave Roberts' gut told him to just let this kid finish it out and not go with the button push just because it's the ninth inning and go to his closer, who had put together some performances to get his confidence back. But three perfect innings to close out the game. That's it. Now they're in the World Series.
That's my point. So you can go over a football script and how you want scenario A, B, C, D, and E to work. And sometimes it does, but you got to adjust on the fly, and I think they did that. You know, there's so much pressure on Dave Roberts and the Dodgers because of the past. I don't even like call failures, but lack of execution. And you know, the narrative was getting stronger and stronger the more this series played out. And so, for that to finish the way it did, there's a collective sigh of relief that I think now they can play this World Series a little bit more straight up, if you will, And I think that would serve them well. Their offense was dormant early, and then they woke up. Their offense is what makes them so unique. And they walk, they just grind out at bats, and at the end of the day, they won the battle of the intangibles that don't measure in the metrics of, you know, analytics. They won that battle, whether it was base running, defense, taking a walk. Those little things is what they did better.
And so before I let you go, let's talk a little bit of Rays here. I guess, as you point out, you better have a lead, right, on this team because of how many fire hoses come out of that pen. And it's just amazing, you know, so much conversation. Even Dick Vitale was going nuts on Twitter during the ACL, during Game 7 when Charlie Morton is removed after 5 2/3. He's given up two hits. He doesn't even have a pitch count nearing 70. And they just, like, this is what they do. I guess that's what they do, right?
Yeah, and that's my point. I mean, again, on paper, just from the organization utilizes their assets as good as anybody. There's no doubt about that. I mean, if you're a GM and you want to make, you know, the Braves call you to make a trade, you hang up as fast as you can on them. Because they make all the right moves lately, and they've processed what – there's no denying that. But I think for a regular season, there are a lot of value in what they do. And, of course, it's been a shorter season. I think there are times, though, when the postseason could come around, to your point exactly, those are the head-scratchers. It worked out, but those are the things you go, okay, this is what they are, and this is what they do, and they've done it. They're going to do it till the end of the season. I get it. So that'll be the interesting challenge now, you know, come postseason when you're facing a mirror image kind of yourself. Mm-hmm. You've got two teams that really mirror image. But it is definitely going to be, from the sixth inning on, 100 miles an hour coming out of the pen and the ability for them to mix and match. They have the unique right-handed reliever, the unique left-hand. They have every style angle. They create deception in different ways, and they have gone out and sought it, and they've really perfected the ability to use all their pieces. I'm sitting here today, all day tomorrow, just catching up on all the weapons they have, because it's not like the Dodgers. They throw out their eight or nine guys, and they're gonna live with those offense. The Rays can do a lot of things.
You know, we're here on the anniversary of Reggie hitting three home runs against the Dodgers to win the World Series, 1977. It's the anniversary on this day in 1977 when that happened. And we've seen Springer's done it since, and we'll see that again. Will we ever see like Jack Morris again? Will we ever see somebody saying, "Okay, I'll take the ball in the 10th"? Will that person even be allowed to go through the third time in the order? You know,
no. You know, they always say in sports and in life, the pendulum always swings too far and then eventually comes back. I think it'll come back, but if the certain philosophies are allowed or the reward system is there for you, if they tell you as a pitcher, look, just get after it in the first inning, go until your tank gets empty, that's what you're going to do. You're not going to say, nah, let me do it a different way. The organization is basically telling the players on how they want the script to get written. And I think that the only way to answer your question fairly that we get closer or back to a role that has certain expectations that are different is the injury rate is continuing to grow, that you can't fulfill that position anymore. There was some danger here in this format that teams, and we saw it, had no ability to throw a starter out there for any length. It was Johnny Bullpen almost every game. And I think that's going to be difficult to explain over 162, yet alone in this format. Think about it. We didn't even have that many games, so you would think everyone would be fresher. That there just weren't many teams that had starters healthy enough or equipped to do that. So the short answer is no, we won't see that anytime soon.
Bummer. Hey, John, always great. I love you and Joe. You're just such a great listen. And also Davis, too. I think he's terrific also. Just great stuff out of you and the rest of the Fox Sports crew, and I look forward to the World Series. I'll be out there watching.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
Let's chat again soon. That's John Smoltz, Hall of Famer. Moment for me real quick, then we'll get to Kittle, and then we'll do phone calls. Everybody on hold, stay on hold.
Oh, yeah.
October 18th, 1977. There was a young boy in Staten Island, New York.
All right.
Glued to the television set, staying up all night.
We all were rich.
Oh, my God. Didn't think it was coming. Hoped it was coming.
That little bleacher that's in the center of the room was there.
Reggie Jackson. Walked his first at-bat. Bert Hooten walked him. Second at-bat, line drive, home run off of Bert Hooten. Hooten out. Elia Sosa in.
Bert Hooten?
Three-run jack that went further. Last at-bat, Charlie Huff, knuckleballer, came in, and Reggie took one and hit it into the hitter's eye in center field, the black seats that no one was sitting. And that was all she wrote. That's when everybody knew this World Series was over for sure. Three-run homers when it was good. I mean, but the third one, like, could he do it again? He did it again. I'm getting goosebumps. I fell in love with baseball the year before when Chris Chambliss homered to put the Yankees in the World Series, but they got Big Red Machined out in a sweep. This was the Yankees' return to World Series glory.
Good old days.
Reggie Jackson, and I will proudly say this, last 3 weeks during NFL game day morning, I get a text from Reggie.
Really?
He's out there watching game
Big
day morning.
Steeler fan.
Huge Steelers fan. Reggie. Reggie's out there.
43
Thank
years.
You for that night and everything else, Reggie.
It's crazy. Actually, your mom sent us a photo from that night.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's me.
There you go.
That's odd that I would be dressed in a three-piece bar mitzvah suit.
Suited and booted to watch baseball, Rich. Hey, that's just the way you do.
Yep. Look at that lettuce.
I mean,
personification of class right there.
Same smile, though. Same smile. Same intensity.
Keep that intensity.
Might have been less husky that night in 1977 than it was in... Okay, let's take a break. The great George Kittle and the 49ers are back in business. We're not really out of business, but George Kittle of the 49ers after a 100-yard performance against the Rams last night on NBC Sunday Night Football when we come back on NBC Sports on Peacock. Old Spice now has Below Deck, a new line of products for your, below deck area. New Below Deck Powder Spray helps you feel drier and cleaner down below.
New Below Deck Anti-Chafe Stick helps prevent inner thigh chafing. Nobody wants that. Available in the family planning aisle at Walmart or online at walmart.com/oldspicebelowdeck.
Our poll question with a retweet, Christopher. I just did that. Figured all that'd right. Be helpful. What do we have right now as our results so far? Middle of the show as George Kittle's going to be calling in.
Yeah, looking at the most surprising result from NFL Sunday. Bucks scoring 38 unanswered. The Bears handling the Panthers. Colts 24-point comeback and the Niners dominating the Rams. 64% Bucks right now.
38 unanswered was somewhat surprising.
Pretty surprising. I'm kind of shocked. Only the 4% for the Bears.
How about the Colts staring a 21-0 Bengals lead?
24-0.
Was it 24-0 until they came back?
Yeah.
Damn.
And they scored 21 right before half.
Oh, my gosh.
Philip Rivers just doing his thing.
You know, that's an interesting scene right there in Indianapolis. That's why I made that one of my games to look at this coming weekend that no one was talking about, you know? And so it really is something that I bear in mind. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show on our radio network. We were just talking about Indianapolis losing to Cincinnati by the tune of 24-0 before they started their comeback. I know Frank Reich believes in Philip, and Philip is awesome. Philip is just, he's just a roller coaster ride. Indianapolis is one of those spots that I'm thinking would be interested in Sam Darnold. The Jets were going to go and trade him off. As you know, I said my fourth down hot take last week in four downs that the Jets should trade him now. Trade him now. Put him in somebody's quarterback room now. Let him learn now. You can get him cheaper now. Get him out now. Let him free now. And I bounced this off a respected analyst and talent evaluator, said the Jets will never do that. Why? Because you can't cash him in until you have the other bird in hand. What if you get rid of Sam Darnold and all of a sudden you win a few games that you didn't expect to win and you're not even close to Trevor Lawrence? Then what?
Honestly, fair point.
And I thought to myself, didn't think of that.
Yeah.
That's why I'm clutching a hot take plank when I make such an incendiary statement. That Sam Darnold at some point is going to be made available because the Jets are a hard 0-6. A hard 0-6. Your phone calls coming up shortly here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH. If you're on hold, stay on hold. I promise I will take your calls before the third hour. In which Ryan Tannehill will join us. It's also Overreaction Monday, as always. Back here on the program, though, one of our favorite humans on the planet and favorite guests, fresh off of a 100-yard performance, including a touchdown, not only for the San Francisco 49ers, but for my fantasy team, the aroma of the comeback.
Nice.
Put me in position to win this week. He's my buddy, George Kittle. How are you, George?
Rich, happy to be back. What an intro, man. You drafted me in fantasy?
Big time, George. Big time.
Well, what round?
Well, I mean, first of all, you...
Oh, whoa. To it.
Well, first of all, here, what round? Third, I think?
I'm okay with that.
10-team league? 10-team league? You're one of the top 30. Top 30.
Totally okay with that.
Oh, absolutely. And just so you understand this, and I will say the other opposite when Kelsey calls in, I took you in front of Kelsey.
Whew. I like that.
Now hold on a second, George. I'm not only a fan of yours, but a fan of Deion's. Did you do a Deion Sanders going into the end zone last night?
We were in the throwbacks. Got to pay a little respect.
That's what you did last night, right? You put your hand behind your helmet, and then you also held the ball in a certain way to go back and forth, right, as you went into the end zone.
Just had a little bit of fun, man.
I love it. Look at you.
It's something about those all-white throwbacks, man. They just get you all excited.
That is an old... I didn't... You know what? I didn't even put the two and two together. But now that's why I'm glad I have you on the show. And it looked like a lot was being put together last night, George. Did you get the sense that this is okay, that this is what this offense looked like somewhat similar to last year? Did you get that sense? Because it passed that eye test for me watching from home. last night.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's still a lot of mistakes for us to correct, but our overall confidence as an offensive unit, like playing together, 11 guys, you know, working towards the same goal, you could see that and you could sense it on the field. And that was, I will say, that was like the first time this season, other than maybe a couple drives in a game or two, this season I've been a part of, but like the whole game felt like we were playing well, we were controlling the line of the scrimmage, and we weren't hurting ourselves. We were just making play after play after play to be consistent and stay in front of the change, in front of the chains. And then when you do that, you just get confidence. And I think that's what we had last night.
And then Debo just running downhill like last year too. Maybe that's got a somewhat something to do with it as well. He is just a
That's not bad either. I guess, you know, it's crazy. Like before last week, the dude, he had three practices since the Super Bowl because he hurt his foot.
Right.
So yeah, like it's his second week back. I assume there'd be a little bit of rest versus Miami, but I think he's feeling like his old self again, and he's just running around like a bowling ball, which is pretty fun to see.
Mostert as well. I mean, he and Debo, all just three, just off the top of my head. You guys you arrive with intent. Do you discuss this? Is that part of the plan to arrive with intent, all of you, George?
Well, I think something that we figured out is when you hit them before they hit you, it hurts less.
I love that.
Yeah. And so when you give them the impact.
Right.
And then you probably don't get hit by four guys. You only get hit by that one guy. And then you hit the ground. And so that's one thing. I always try to do that. And I know Debo's run style has definitely evolved as well as mine. And then Raheem just is so fast. And he gets to 23 miles per hour in two steps, which is not fair. It's just that's really fun to watch by itself.
It's George Kittle here on the Rich Eisen Show. Your quarterback is much maligned, sir. There's no other way to put it. From many quarters in this football planet, and his performance and then his removal from the game last week against Miami only ignited all that. What is he like in a week with everybody talking about this? Like in practice this past week, walk me through what Jimmy G is like to be around, George.
He's the exact same guy every single day. He has been since he got here. From if he has three touchdowns, 250, 300 yards in Sunday Night Football, or if he got benched, he's the same guy. You know, whenever he comes in on Monday morning, and he leads the same way. I mean, that's why we love Jimmy, because he's always consistent. He's always himself. He's always professional, and he always holds himself to a high standard. So. That consistency is, you know, what a team like us needs. We have a lot of young guys playing, and when guys see that and guys see that you can take coaching and you can still bounce back and play at a high level, that's where our team elevates, because we have leaders like Jim that allow us to be great.
Now, I don't ask that, like, to try and, I guess, justify the media, right? I don't ask that because that's like an old saw also in – Super Bowl weeks where we talk about a distraction to all the players and it just feeds itself by saying this is a distraction, so let's talk about a distraction while we're all waiting for a game to start. Like, I legitimately ask this because I hear rumors, I hear whispers, I hear sorts of conversations that Jimmy G might not be the guy for years to come despite his contract, and that's why I ask it, to see, like, do you hear that and just kind of look at Jimmy when he comes in and see how he reacts, or this is really not even on the radar screen for you guys? Seriously.
I mean, in the locker room, I don't think it's on the radar at all. We come to work. Jimmy G's our QB. He's our leader. And you know, we rally behind him. And I mean, I think that's why he plays so well, is because he got a team that supports him the way that we do. And that's just the way we are every single day in the locker room. But I mean, I don't hear anything. All I know is that Jimmy G's my QB and he's going to win us a lot of games. Dude has yet to lose back-to-back games in the NFL, which I think is pretty – that's a pretty good record, too.
Yeah, that is amazing, George. I mean, to what do you – I guess you can attribute that to the personality that you just mentioned, right?
Yeah. No, everything that Jimmy G gets, he works for. Like, there's nothing – he doesn't – like, he's not, I'd say, like, the most talented QB in the NFL, but the amount of work ethic that he puts in everything makes him a great QB. I mean, he has the intangibles, but – because of his work ethic, he gets way better. And that's what makes us better, because, you know, we have a lot of guys that we're all good football players, but the way that we work and the way that we come to work every single day is what makes us great. And that's what our whole team is made up of.
Well, I guess I'm also giving you a preview, since you're playing the Patriots this week. I mean, that's only going to be
the... Ooh, baby!
You know?
I'm excited.
That's only going to be the half the conversation leading up all week.
Rich, I've been waiting a while to stay on to New England.
been waiting a while to say that.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's my first time getting to play him. You know, that's I'm excited for this week. Never played in Boston. I have a couple buddies that played for them, so it's going to be a fun one.
Okay, and a few minutes left here with George Kittle on the Rich Eisen show. So when I saw you in Indianapolis, I tweeted this out at you too, the night that your buddy, big Bobby Tonyan went off for the Packers. You brought him, he's a buddy of yours. You worked out with him throughout the, off season, non-playing season. You told me, when he was standing there in Indy, when you were kind enough to be part of Run Rich Run, you're like, keep an eye out for this guy. He seems to be really settling into his own in Green Bay, wouldn't you say, George?
Oh, Rich, I can't talk enough about Big Bobby. He's a great friend of mine. You know, we have the same agent, trained together at the Combine, have been, you know, friends since that whole process, trained with me the last couple of years in Nashville. Just really close friend of mine, and this seeing his work ethic and how he attacks everything, and then finally being able, you know, to get the opportunity to go out there and perform, you know, Monday Night Football, score 3 touchdowns. I was, you know, incredibly happy. It was funny. I was at a wedding. My teammate Trent Taylor got married that Monday night. Just a little ceremony, you know, out in California, just us four really. But Bobby had the 3 touchdowns, and I was giving, you know, Trent a play-by-play during his wedding. Hey, Rob just scored another touchdown, because we're all friends, and it kind of highlighted the night. And I feel bad for Trent, but. It's pretty funny.
Hey, look, if anybody's going to steal any thunder on a wedding night, I mean, that's not a bad way to do it.
No, it's not at all, man.
But it's just neat to see hard work pay off like that, man. You know, because you were telling me all about him, and I'm like, oh, I'll keep an eye out. And then he's just beginning to bust out in Green Bay. And that's, you know, I know you like talking about your friend. I figured I'd give you the floor on that front.
I do. No, I can talk about my buddies all day.
No, I'm sure. And so one thing about you, George, I know you got a lot of journey to get to, but you now have had 10 100-yard receiving games in your career. That is most by a tight end since 1950. When you hear a stat like that, you think what, George?
Well, I got to get some more, I guess.
Okay, that's simple.
Just try to keep going. That's the thing about football, you know, it's kind of a, you know, what are you doing for me lately? And, you know, I love, you know, having great games and stuff, but I look at it and I'm like, hey, that's really cool. And I'll look back on that when I'm done playing football. So I'm just going to try to continue to add to those, see if I can, you know, just get better every single day.
Okay. And before I let you go, I know you need to run. I know you do.
Pun intended?
No, I know. No, actually, I've been told you need to lift. George.
Oh, yeah. That's my lift, it starts in a little bit. I'm good, man.
I don't want to
tell him I'm with Rich.
No, I appreciate that, George. I'm sure Kyle, Coach Shanahan, won't have a problem with that at all. I noticed our alma maters don't play each other this year. Did you notice that? There's no Iowa-Michigan game to talk about.
I know. Michigan called, and they said, we don't want to play you guys. We don't want to ruin our chances of getting to the playoffs. Even though they don't really have a chance anyways, Rich.
Oh, my gosh. Well, do you at least take on Ohio State? Do you at least play them so you can?
I think we do at the end. You know, I will say this.
Yes.
Michigan has a better chance than Nebraska, so no worries.
I will take that. I will take that and hope that you're correct. What does a lift look like? Tell me a George Kittle lift. Walk me through a lift.
We had a big front squat day today, Rich. I'm going for like 335 for speed.
Just imagine you're talking to somebody that doesn't understand what that means. What do you mean by that?
Front squat, you know, the bar is on the front of your shoulders, not on your back.
Okay.
And then I'm going to have 335 pounds on the bar at one point, and I'm going to try to get 3 reps, and I'm going to try to be as fast as I possibly can.
So walk me through what the goal is in terms of that.
You know, I don't really get how the speed machines that we have in our weight room work. I know is that my goal is to get like over a 0.7, which is pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to try to hit that. And then I got some calf things, you know, got to look good in the uniform for my wife. And just some good stretching. It's like just to make your body feel a little better, because if you don't move the day after a game,
yes,
you get pretty stiff and it's not fun.
Interesting. So 335, Mike Del Tufo, my sound engineer, says he's planked 145 before, and we thought, like, there's no way you plank 145 pounds. No, he refers to that as one plate of 45.
So 335 is three
plates of 35. Yeah, so it's not even 100 pounds.
Yeah, it's a joke.
Right.
I can do that.
No. You mean 335 pounds.
Yeah.
Right, George?
I do mean that. You guys are funny.
He literally said that when he planks 145. We're like, yeah, right. No, it's one plate of 45 is what he said.
That's not Rich, come on, man. You got to understand the lingo, man.
No, it's not the way it works.
Thank you, George.
It's just not the way it works. All right, George, thanks for the call. I love watching you ball out. And again, it's not a fantasy football thing. You know how I feel about
Rich.
You.
Whatever you say. I appreciate you guys having me on. Invite me back anytime. Love talking with you, boys.
Right back at you. Thanks, George. That's George Kittle, everybody, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. A friend of the program right there.
I shouldn't like George, but I do.
Why don't you like George?
There he is. No, he plays for the Niners. I said, in theory, I shouldn't like him. But
by the way, Iowa does not play Ohio State. I'm looking at their schedule. Iowa, Purdue, then Northwestern, then Michigan State, Minnesota, Penn State, Nebraska, Illinois, and Wisconsin. By the way, here's the Nebraska news I was teasing.
Oh, yes. What is this?
They named one of their captains. A walk-on wide receiver named Cade Warner.
Hey!
Nice.
Wow.
Kurt's son has got a C on his chest.
How about that? Oh. Isn't that Kurt's son also rocking a mustache?
A handlebar mustache.
It's epic.
It is epic. That was the final topic of the Mooch and Michael debate segment on Game Day Morning yesterday. Who's got the better mustache, Minshew or Cade Warner? Cade won it.
That's pretty funny.
As he should.
That's pretty funny.
His mustache is great.
How about that? Kurt's son.
Man.
Walking on, C on the chest. Hey, that's Warner's awesome. Are no joke, man.
That's awesome.
I know. Pretty cool stuff.
Pretty cool.
I know. We're so happy for them. All right. When we come back, your phone calls, 844-204-RICH. Number to dial here on the program, 844-204-RICH. We've got our phone bank lit up. We'll empty them. Then Overreaction Monday and Ryan Tannehill back on the program. That's hour three. Hey, everybody. If you're a business owner, you don't need us to tell you that running a business is tough, certainly these days. But you might be making it harder on yourself than necessary. How about that? Don't let QuickBooks and spreadsheets slow you down anymore. It is time for you to upgrade to NetSuite. Stop paying for multiple systems that don't give you the information you need when you need it. Ditch the spreadsheets and all the old software you've outgrown. Now is the time to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control over your financials, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more. Everything you need all in one place instantaneously. Join over 22,000 companies using NetSuite right now. So let NetSuite show you how they'll benefit your business with a free product tour at netsuite.com/rich. Schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/rich. netsuite.com/rich. Wrong stat. It's most 100-yard games by a tight end for the 49ers since 1950. It's not at all tight ends, but still needs to get some more.
They've had some good tight ends.
Did you notice the Deion hand behind helmet?
I did.
Last night?
I saw him do it. Yeah. But Deion only played 1 year for the 49ers, and
That
was a good year. They won the Super Bowl. Yeah. Yes.
He put him over the top. That was the 1 year that Steve Young won it.
But
kept the Cowboys from four-peating.
Well, Irv will tell you that was pass interference in the NFC Championship game.
I mean, it clearly was, Rich. He's got eyes. You can see it.
They would have four-peated.
Those are my two things that you guys always bring up, that play and Jason Sehorn.
Yes, the fact that Jason Sehorn, who had great days against Irv.
I love what you bring up. And Alvin Harper, the kind of the big three. Right?
Well, Alvin Harper we bring up because Irv didn't want Alvin to get the football.
Yeah.
We refer to it as Sehorn Island. On NFL Game Day Morning. Rich Eisen here, back on the Rich Eisen Show for our radio audience. That's for the Peacock audience. Sometimes I will just reset to welcome our radio audience back in the mightier 1090 here in Southern California. And congratulations to all the Dodger fans out there listening and all the Padres fans out there listening. My condolences to watch the Dodgers not collapse.
As by the way, the Dodgers did not lose after Daniel Jeremiah tweeted out how he's texting his Dodger friends about how this collapse will be the same one that they have next year with Nolan Arenado on the staff, on the roster. Right?
If they trade for Nolan Arenado.
Who knows? Who knows? Let's go to first up, John in Denver, Colorado. Has been waiting some time. What's up, John?
Morning, Rich. How are you?
I'm doing fine. John, how are you?
Very good. Now, Rich, I know this is the Rich Eisen Show,
yes,
but I had a question to the gentleman to your left. Which one yesterday hurt the most?
Mr. Broccoli?
Patriots,
yeah,
losing, or Mookie doing Mookie things, not with the Red Sox?
Definitely the Patriots losing.
Well, does that stun you? Is that your stunned silence response?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Red Sox fan. Pedro made me a Red Sox fan since 97, when Pedro was being Pedro. I'm still bitter that John Henry, winning Champions League, winning everything with Liverpool, didn't just pay Mookie his money.
Yeah, I mean, look, I totally get it. But it's not against Mookie, so I love him, obviously. But he's been playing the whole year with the Dodgers.
No, I
so
know.
So I've kind of accepted the fact that he's not coming back to us ever again. So just seeing the Patriots absolutely struggle yesterday was much more disappointing.
Kind of surprising. And thank you for the call, yeah, John. I didn't see that one coming,
not
with Cam coming back and Denver not having played since October 1st, which, by the way, and appreciate the call, the Broncos having not played since October 1st, the only time that the Broncos had ever gone as long between games as they did between their last game and yesterday was 9/11.
Oh, wow.
And yet they were the ones who went into New England and
they got 6 field goals.
Hang on a second. Drew Lock became the second quarterback to beat a Belichick Patriots team by throwing 2 or more interceptions ever. The only other one is Kurt Warner in 2001.
Whew. Wow.
And Drew Lock became just the 10th quarterback with a quarterback rating below 35 to win in the last 10 seasons at all. But I guess you're kind of numb as well. We've been on the air for 6 years.
Yeah.
And I say this with the utmost of love and respect. I don't recall anybody associated with this show having a rougher sports weekend than the one that you potentially just went through. And by that I mean, yeah, again,
wasn't great.
It's not just your teams, it's also the teams of the person, the mother of your masculine child.
Yeah.
Okay, who's an Atlanta sports fan, a Georgia sports fan. So, honestly, to review,
yep,
if you don't mind, because, again, I would, if this was appropriate, come over and give you a hug.
Yeah.
Seriously. Because, honestly, you watched the Patriots do what they did. Okay.
Just
on the same day that Brady and Gronk go off for Tampa.
I didn't even think about that element.
On the day of the night where the Dodgers complete the latest comeback on an Atlanta team, mm-hmm, with Mookie Betts doing Mookie Betts things.
Robbed a home run.
On a weekend also in which Sarah's beloved Georgia Bulldogs got a big lead and then lost it to an Alabama team that just looks like they're loaded for bear once again, coached by a man who remarkably comes back from COVID-19 to take down his mask and bark at officials. And by the way, could you imagine if Bill Belichick had done that? What would be going on in the NFL right now?
Yeah.
Also on a weekend in which his own alma mater loses to Liberty
at home.
To fall, to wait for it, I looked it up, 6-11 since Coach Dino Babers called him to the show to wish him a happy birthday. So he's like, there's a cooling all over the place right now.
And I started watching The Cooler over the weekend.
Well, maybe that's part of it. I don't know.
was on cable.
But the Falcons did win.
Yep.
In a manner that nobody saw coming.
Nobody saw coming.
Poor Dan Quinn's got to be sitting at home saying, now, really?
But in a weird way, that's a loss because they're now out of the Trevor Lawrence hunt.
That's a win for me. But honestly, I mean, my football team dropped to 0-6, and not just any old 0-6, but 0-6 with an average margin of loss being 18 points. They haven't even come within two possessions of somebody this year.
I know you don't follow, sometimes. Rich, but people are making money betting against the Jets.
I'm sure.
Free money.
Joe Flacco took a 28-yard sack yesterday. I am a 51-year-old man. I've never even seen that.
How does that happen?
I don't even want to comprehend it, but altogether, I feel for you, man. Yeah. That's a tough weekend.
Rough. It was rough. Thankfully, my son loves me. I don't think he knows his dad yet, but He looks in my eyes and laughs, and that's all that matters.
Christopher in Oxnard, California. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Christopher?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, how are you, Christopher?
I am living the dream the best I can.
Love it.
Need you to do me a favor, Rich. Please tell Ryan Tannehill, gig him for me.
Got it. You got it.
Okay.
No problem.
So, with regards to the Jets and the first-round potential pick,
yes.
In the immortal words of Gordon Gekko, first lesson in business is don't get emotional about stock. Clouds your judgment.
Okay.
All right. Before Reggie White and Brett Favre went to the Packers, they were the team, much like Disney's Island at the Top of the World, where whales go to die.
Okay.
If the Jets are trending that direction and don't get a quality coach like the enemy, what are the odds Lawrence pulls and Eli Manning and say, I won't play for you guys when I'm drafted.
Christopher, I'm Dikembe Mutombo finger waving.
No.
If you're saying Trevor Lawrence is going to pull an Eli Manning because he thinks that the Jets organization is such a dumpster fire, let's take it two different parts. Yes, the Jets organization is a dumpster fire. Don't forget, Eli Manning wanted to get out of San Diego to go to New York. There is no way Trevor Lawrence will have an opportunity to start his professional football playing career with the New York Jets and say no to that. No way in the world. It would be dereliction of duty, because not only would he have the entire New York market open, but the Jets, this is the Jets' only chance to tell the rest of the coaching community, you want to be here. There is no way. And this is another reason why they have to tank, and I thank you for the call. There is no way you're going to get coaches dying to coach with the New York Jets. You're not. Basically, we're going to say to a bunch of coaches, if they don't have Trevor Lawrence, hey, look what just happened with Gase. And by the way, Todd Bowles is now going to get another job probably after what's going on in Tampa. We bounced him. We couldn't even be patient with him. We gave him a quarterback in Sam Darnold, but we only let him have him from 1 year. And, oh, by the way, the guy Chan Gailey, who is calling plays, he's only dialing it up right now for Ryan Fitzpatrick and Brian Flores, and he's going to be the guy that we're hooking up to Tua in Miami. Come here, because the owner may or may not be trying to make America great again in London and UK still, and he's coming. None of that matters, as bad of a dumpster fire as it may be, if the Jets are saying Joe Douglas is the guy, who is very well respected in the NFL. Joe Douglas is your general manager. You've got, even with Trevor Lawrence coming first overall, you've got Seattle's first-round selections the next 2 years as well. You've got also whatever you get back for Darnold, which could be a low one, high two. And the first round, the first pick of the second round. It's like you got the 33rd overall pick as well, which, by the way, we could trade back into the first round and get to. What do you like? What do you like? What do you think we need? Trevor Lawrence hears all this, and he goes, no, I don't want to go to New York. Hey, anything's possible in this world? Don't get me started. And that's what the Jets need to do, too. We'll go a little bit on this moment for us right now. That's what the Jets need to do. They're a third of the way home with the hard work done. Third of the way home. All you got to do is you got 11 more weeks to go. Just get through it. Tough 11 weeks. I feel for the players that are there, and I feel for the coaches that are there. It stinks because they're already knifing each other. Remember on Friday we heard, before we went out, Greg 3G Williams saying that the 30 points per game that they're giving it up, it's not all defensive? It's not all on defense? Okay. And everyone's like, what does that mean? Well, you go figure it out. Take it what you will. End Zoom. Leave meeting.
Right.
Does Don Bowie have, do you have the set? This is what Adam Gase, can you get Adam Gase what he had to say after the loss yesterday about what he had to say about Greg Williams? The knives are out. The knives are out. And if you don't get, if you will, with all due respect, Lane Kiffin, after losing to an in-division rival, 24-0. If you don't get Lane Kiffin after you lose 24-0 and your opponent doesn't convert a single third down all day, then you're just not going to get fired. And I don't know, this may not last the day. People may look at this video later on our Twitter feed, which would be great, or our YouTube feed, which would be great, but and say that it's dated. I don't think they're firing him. If you don't leave him in Miami after all that, and after this is what he had to say after the game?
Adam, on the CBS telecast, they were quoting you from the production meeting last night, and they quoted you as saying that, you know, everyone needs to just shut up and play. I mean, that sounds like a fairly stern rebuke of your defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't happy about it, but, I mean, we talked about it, and, you know, he knew that it just, you know, right now I feel like, you know, our players are doing such a good job as far as trying to get things righted. And, you know, it's just everything we say is, it matters, you know, and he understood that, you know, none of us can, we got to set the right example.
Oh, right example is, teaching everybody what there's a culture in the building at 0-5, now 0-6, by letting the running back walk and sign with potentially the best team in football. That'll teach everybody in the building. Just keep liking as many videos as you want. We'll let you go, and you can sign with Kansas City. You can sign with Tennessee. You can go sign. This is great. So keep everybody there. You've done the hard work, unfortunately for everybody. Find more Frank Gores. I'm not saying 37-year-olds or 37-year-olds, guys who are pissed off about it. Frank Gore's been on the Jets 6 games, and he's already a leader in saying this stinks. Finish the job. Giants and Atlanta won. There's a lot of one-win teams out there that's going to start waking up around week 8, week 9, week 10, saying, Miami, we got a shot at Trevor Lawrence. No, Jets, don't let those objects get closer in the rearview mirror. You continue to stink on ice. You continue to be co-tidy bad. Worse than that.
Worse.
Keep doing it. Seriously, a third of the way home. And if Trevor Lawrence says no to New York City, well, then he wasn't cut out for the market anyway. And you trade the pick and you get a million choices. Because the minute he says, I'm not coming, or even twitches in that direction, then you could basically say, come one, come all, and give me your entire draft and try it with Sam Darnold. I hope that doesn't happen.
He doesn't think it'll seem happen. Like that kid. Remember, there was a sniff of Joe Burrow doing that.
I know, and then that didn't even happen in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
No, Trevor will come. Long hair, big arm.
Oh, New York.
70 points a game, baby. I saw it this weekend.
They're welcoming.
Oh, I saw that orange, and it looked green to me. You're almost there, Jets. Just hang in there. Ryan Tannehill, Overreaction Monday and more. Hour three in your calls.
Welcome to the MIP.
Yeah.
The Michael Irvin Podcast.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who?
We start this thing off. Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.